Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 356, I'm pretty sure. Light crowd, it's like negative degrees outside. Pat is living it up down in Disney. He chose wisely to not be here this week because this is kind of awful. But the show had to go on. We couldn't let a little bit of cold, you know, deny you of your entertainment. You know, you paid good money for this. We want to make sure you get what you paid for. And I am Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Spencer,
Josh.
Dave's not here, so we're going to have to withhold the Hoy Comics announcement for yet another week, and I apologize
feel like
for that.
You should withhold it again, because at this point, they've all got it from somewhere else.
But I haven't even looked at it, to be honest with you. I was leaving that for
Dave. The truth. Okay.
There's the truth.
It wasn't you being a nice guy.
I was being a nice guy, but I was leaving that for him, because I figured that was something he'd be excited about and talk about. So I saw that they have 4 new titles coming, but I didn't really look too closely at them, so... But they're not out for a while. They're probably just in the new book here, so we have plenty of time to talk them up. I will be hyping up the graphic novels of the 4 books that are out so far: The Wrong Earth, Captain Ginger, High Heaven, and Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror. Because Dave says they're good.
So it sounds like you said Dave. Edgar Allan Poe's.
Yeah. Poe's. Sorry.
Like, oh, we're getting. Leaked
I was
now.
Thinking the same thing, but.
It's our new gaming podcast. our gamer clan is Edgar Allan Poe's.
Okay.
We're saying lots of things he doesn't understand.
You are right. I mean, I know of the word, but I never really quite understood it, but sure. Sure, Josh. News-wise, DC had a major shakeup. Last weekend. I want to say it was Friday.
Rumors are that more is coming sooner than later.
Really? Okay. They got rid of 3 high-level people. I know 2. I don't remember the 3rd one. Mark Chiarello, who was their artist editor, the head of that. John Cunningham, who was...
Sales
guy. And I forget who the other person was. Part of what I've read is...
Plus a number of, like, lower-level people as well.
Right. And they did some restructuring
things.
Like things.
3% of the staff.
Yeah. But some of what I read was that it was, you know, the higher-paid people were the first to go as the new boss takes over and moves things around. They got rid of some redundancies that I think probably weren't handled previously. When they moved DC to Warner Brothers... There's just a lot of duplication of roles. So I think that was some of it. It's been interesting reading about John Cunningham. I know, like David Harper said, you know, he talked to him and he was a super smart guy and he doesn't understand why they let him go. I'm not all that upset. He always talked down to us at the Comics Pro meetings. And then he was also the one... That was the big front person.
That's for you, Spencer. Yeah, I understand.
Josh is looking through the Japanese section of the previous.
I've gone to the creepy section.
Yeah, and man, I was going through last month's doing the order, and for most of it, you can go to next publisher and it'll skip, but in that section, you just have to go one after the other. Man, was that. It was just like, come on! Seriously? It was awful. Just.
It is
half naked woman. Oh, it is. It's awful.
The thing that stood out is this $45 phone charger where it's some girl bent over in front of a bookshelf wearing a short skirt, and you can imagine the rest.
And where do you plug the cord in?
Yeah. I believe she is displaying that.
Okay.
Right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. But he always talked down to us, and he was like their front man when the Batman thing went down, Batman 50, when that broke on Sunday before it shipped on Wednesday. He, just from reading his posts on the Facebook group, seemed personally affronted that we were upset about it and didn't understand why we would be upset. And just it just really rang hollow. It just...
Yeah, I've never heard anything like that great about him. It seemed like people were more upset about Chiarello.
Yeah, I got that. But, so yeah, and then, you know, shortly after that, they closed the Facebook group, and it just seemed like he was like, well, fine, then they don't deserve nice things. And he, you know, left. So I'm not super heartbroken. You know, he may have been great in his job, but it didn't come across to us. And they do forget that we are their customers. Marvel forgets that a lot, too.
What's the take on it from, like, the retailer community?
We don't know. We're hoping we'll get the fallout. Well, everything will settle because Comics Pro is in 3 weeks.
Oh, that's right.
Or yeah. I think it's 3 weeks, or maybe it's only 2 weeks. But Comics Pro is coming up shortly. Yeah, it might be. Wow, it might be 2 weeks. Probably three, but still. We're hoping, you know, they'll come and talk to us and let us know what's going on. Yeah, you know, the people that I know are still there, so that's good. Stuart and Vince are still there. But, yeah, it's kind of like, hey, what's going on? So, and one new person is coming to the meeting, which is weird because she's, like, the head of mass market. So, like, she's the person that was behind the Walmart deal and stuff. So it's, like, interesting. So, but I guess better to have her come than not, so.
Yeah.
You know, so at least we can meet or, you know, find out what their plans are. The other thing is George Perez retired.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he retired, which is fine. He's had health issues.
Is he retiring from books, too? Like, I know that.
Yeah,
like
I think he's done. He's had vision problems for a while. And I think basically he's just calling it quits. He's still going to do a couple cons, but it's going to be much more scaled back.
He's had a good run.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It was funny because I think I forgot to talk about it last week, but I was listening to the Comic Conspiracy podcast, and they were talking about their favorite, you know, George Perez stuff, and they were all, you know, Avengers and stuff like that. And I'm going, New Teen Titans, guys? I mean, that, you know, that was the thing. So it was funny. And then finally somebody said it late, and they're like, oh, geez, yeah. But it was kind of funny. It was like, I'm like, that's what put, I mean, not put him on the map, because he was doing Avengers before that. But that was his big thing. So what's that box? Go back one second. Down there.
The DC Comics, the New Frontier short.
Oh,
that's nice.
Oh, that. I thought it was Darwin Cook. Yeah. Okay. Just looking at it upside down from across the table, but yeah, cool.
It's a 5-pack.
Yeah, they all are.
5-pack for
what is it?
$13.
Yeah, it's probably each.
It says comic box times 5. $13
each. That's why I don't order those. Because then you.
Why would it say 5 count?
Right, because you have to buy 5. They don't sell them singly.
Oh.
Yeah. So yeah, that's why I don't get those, because it's 5 at $13.99 plus. Then you have to add on shipping on top of that, and it gets expensive very, very quickly.
It's a nice looking box.
It is, but still, it's $14 for a short box.
No, I get that.
You know,
I wouldn't pay that for the short box.
Right, yeah. Right. Now when I have white ones for $5, it's like, is that worth $8? So that's how I look at it. Like those Conan ones came in. Normally they were $7.99. Those came in at $9.99. It was like, yeesh. Still a lot for a box.
Yeah.
A cardboard box. All offense. So that was the big news that we had. Let's see what we got in the way of questions.
Did you guys see the Birds of Prey teaser?
I did not.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Like,
it was,
that, see, yeah, the only thing I saw was somebody basically going, what the hell did I just watch? So that's why I have not watched it yet.
I didn't dislike it. It just, with this and like with the Joker teaser, getting a very different feel for these DC Comics movies than, you know, the ones of the previous few years. I'm interested to see, like, how these turn out, because it definitely seemed like they're less, you know, concerned with doing the normal superhero, like, world-building thing. It seemed like these feel more like their own, just,
okay,
you know, off-the-wall.
Which is the best. Honestly, let Marvel have their world-building. Yeah. Do your own movies. You know, Aquaman doesn't have to tie into whatever the next movie is.
Yeah.
Yeah, let it be.
And then even if you do want to do, like a Justice League movie, you can still just be like, they're all together. Like, you know what I mean? You don't have to, like, seed everything from, like, 5 movies out, you know, and just...
Agreed.
Okay. Uh-oh. Oh! Sorry, Tim. So me asks...
Who?
I forget his name. But it is... He's me.
Von
Olhoffen. Chemo. Remember Chemo Von Olhoffen, Steeler player? Knocked out Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
So his first question, if you met a parallel universe version of yourself, what's the most shocking thing you'd notice about him? Full head of hair. For Spencer, he'd work at Target.
Yeah. He'd be happier.
Not in the, without a deli department. He'd work in the electronics department of Target. Yes.
Man, I don't know. I'm struggling.
Because you already have the evil goatee, so.
Yeah, but I've dabbled without having it, too. So, you know, that wouldn't be super surprising.
With my luck, I'm just the same in each universe.
I guess maybe he would like Meredith Finch's run on Wonder Woman.
Oh, there you go. That would be shocking. Next,
he'd get Marvel books.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, he would be no DC and all Marvel.
Which take of Alfred do you like better? Fatherly figure, snarky butler, or tactical command post Batcave operative?
I feel like
a mixture.
There's a middle ground for those.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like the Batcave operative. I don't know about tactical command post part for him, but I agree. If you read Crisis on Infinite Earths today, does it still hold up or is it dated and stale? I got one. It was funny because I read it in issues, and I'm sure I still have it in issues. When it came out, I think it was 1985. When I visited the DC offices, one thing Stewart said was, you know, take whatever you want. You know, he had trades galore in his office, just packed. And I took a copy of Crisis, and I'm like, you know what? I really do want to read this again, and I'd rather not kill a store copy to reread it, especially, you know, it's a $30 book.
Which of these do you want the most?
Those are mine.
Okay.
So either of those, or you're more than welcome to. They're Bavarian cream. She got those just for me. There were also two apple fritters. I ate those first.
You're her Bavarian cream.
So I took that, and I just really never found the time to sit down and reread it, because I know it is going to be a dense read. There was a lot going on. I do need to reread it, though.
I've never read it.
You read? Okay. And it's just something.
I have it digitally during like one of those ridiculous sales where I bought a bunch of stuff.
I got it digitally, too, but it's panel by panel, and it's really hard because there was so much stuff on each page. I feel like you're not getting the full thing. Plus, I'm trying to read it on my phone, which doesn't work at all.
You have to do it panel by panel?
I don't know if you have to, but because there's so much going on in each page, you can't see it on, like I said, I was trying to do it on my phone.
Don't you have an iPad, though?
I don't.
Oh.
I had a mini, but it really stopped working. Like, the iOS on it was too old. It wouldn't do anything anymore.
You on the phone, they do try to do the guided view on the panels. But
yeah, so I did not care for it, other than the Perez art was amazing. But I didn't get very far, and it is one of those things I do need to reread. I do love when people talk about, you know, what are those classic things you've never read. You know, sadly, I have a few. My big bad is I've never read Death of Superman. So, I read the issue, but more like, oh, what happened? Oh, okay. And that was it, but I've never read that whole arc. Shame, I know.
I also have not read the whole arc. I read the issue, but not the whole story.
Like, I read the trade that, like, I
okay, yeah,
like
no, no, that's
of,
what, yeah.
But I never read anything, all that stuff, no, like but, the whole comeback
how's it go?
And stuff.
It's Death of Superman, Funeral for a Friend, then
Reign of
Superman,
and
then Return of Superman.
Do
they have a collected edition of the whole?
They have off and on. Like, they do one and then it goes out of print. Then they do another one and it goes out of print. But it's one of those. It's a $100 book or whatever. It might be up now, and it's like, so I don't know. We will let you know. And then
maybe it should be a book club book.
That's a big. Yeah. Oh, you mean Death of Superman?
Yeah. Oh, either one.
Okay.
Either one.
I honestly can't answer this question because I've never seen either. But Better Guilty Pleasure, Leonard Part 6, or Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight?
Tim.
Yeah, Tim, we need you.
We're bringing an expert.
Yeah.
Phone a friend time.
Yeah.
And the friend we're calling in is my best friend and yours, Tim.
So we have a question. Better Guilty Pleasure, Leonard Part 6 or Tales from the Crypt Demon Knight?
I love Demon Knight, and I don't like Leonard Part 6.
Okay, so there you go. There we have our answer. Thank you, Tim.
You couldn't hear that. Tim said he loves Demon Knight and does not like Leonard Part 6. Or Leonard 6.
I think we called in the right person. We phoned the right friend.
Demon Knight has Billy Zane. What more do you need?
Mm-hmm. Good point. I haven't seen Demon Knight since I think it came out on HBO the first time.
And then the last of his questions, best cereal to eat for dinner.
For dinner?
For dinner. I'm a Life fan for dinner. It's got a little bit of sugar, but not as much as, you know, the normal sugary cereals that you need to kickstart your heart in the morning. I feel it's a little heartier.
I feel like this cereal is best any time of day, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But for dinner, I'm actually going more like a Golden Grahams. Sweet, not too sweet. Same, like mouthfeel is the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But, yeah. I like some Golden Grahams.
I don't.
You know, all things considered.
Any time of day. Just not a big cereal guy.
Really?
Not a big cereal guy.
What's your go-to like quick easy breakfast?
My kids would live on
cereal. I normally just have
like
a bagel with some butter on it.
It's good. What kind of bagel?
Just a plain.
Plain?
Yeah.
How do you feel about everything bagels?
What's everything bagel? Like what? I mean,
are you effing with me right now? You know, like you never heard of an everything bagel?
Oh no, I don't
like the one
so.
That has like the you know has like poppy seeds and sesame seeds and like you know, the onions and there'll be like salt and pepper and like it just
I
has like all
I
the.
I'm a plain bagel guy. Although I will say, at the Shop and Save they hit. Let's go back. I'm not a fan of, like, the Giant Eagle bagels are too expensive. It's, like, $5 a thing, and it's, like, it's not that great. And at the Heisler's, the old dairy bar, they had these really good, like, New York bagels that were outstanding bagels, and they were really cheap, you know, affordable, you know, decent price. And I'd get those all the time. And then so I'm at Shop and Save down near me, and they had a sale for $1 a thing of bagels. A little smaller, but I decided to try them, and they had French toast bagels, and they were really good.
That sounds weird.
It was good, because especially when you warmed them up, it was like not syrupy, but just enough, like a hint of syrup. And then with the cream cheese, it was really
so my preference is always the like savory bagels, not the sweet bagels.
Yeah, like my favorite is a pumpernickel. I love a pumpernickel bagel. Like when we'd go to Brugger's, that's now gone, I always got a pumpernickel.
I like the Asiago ones.
It's enough out of you over there. Okay, Christian. Well, yes, he's talking to the wrong person for this one. What's the deal with Marvel's paper quality, especially recently for the black back cover of the Stan Lee issues? I've noticed that the ink wears off with the lightest touch. I have incredibly dry hands, and I still leave prints if I don't move my hands every few seconds while reading. It's really annoying. I have to rig up a bagboard apparatus to sandwich a comic so that I don't leave any marks. This never happens with DC books. Well, Christian, here's the deal with Marvel paper stock. Marvel, in a cost-cutting measure, decided to get rid of covers. And so what they did is, instead of being, what was it? It was like a comic was at 28 pages. That's my guess, because, yeah, it's 4 pages. So they were probably 28 pages, and then you had a cover, which made it a 32-page comic book. What they did is they got rid of the cover. So now page one, what used to be page one, is now the cover. And so they were able to cut 4 pages out of each book and no longer use cover stock, which I'm assuming is a little bit more expensive only in the sense of you'd have to print the covers and print the books and then put them together. And now they can just print it all at once because it's the same thing. But yeah, basically they don't use covers anymore. The cover stock is the interior paper. A couple times they've gone really cheap and at least the interior stock isn't awful, but the cover stock is really bad. I have trouble every week with if a Marvel book is at the top of the box, just the way they're packed, it has a piece of cardboard below and above, so that when you open the box, you don't actually cut the books. But the cardboard is a little rough. It used to be really smooth, but they went with a different cardboard. It's a little rough. And just sitting on the UPS truck, you know, shaking just a little bit, the Marvel books will rub off the color right onto that cardboard. And so normally the top 2 or 3 of every Marvel comic, if it's at the top of a stack, will be damaged. just from the cover, the wearing against the cardboard. But yes, and then the fact that they made it an all black back cover, lots of fingerprints, lots. I mean, the other thing I noticed lately is like people just with sweaty hands carrying their books around when they come up,
yeah.
They're dimpled and stuff just from carrying them around the store. And this is, you know, January. So, yes, I understand what you're saying. I do not have an answer for you.
This was actually one of the factors in me stopping Marvel, stopping the buying of Marvel books. Because when I was buying the books, they were still doing the digital codes and all the books. So I would buy the book, immediately redeem the code, and then bag and board the book and then read on my iPad. Because of that very thing, I got so freaking aggravated that I'd read a book, and after holding it for, you know, 10 to 15 minutes, suddenly I have fingerprints on the covers.
Yeah.
And I've just paid $4 for what is less quality than amusement park toilet paper. So when they stopped doing the digital codes, that was one of the things that drove me to saying, like, I don't think I want to buy this product anymore because it is not worth the money that they're charging me. The physical product is not worth it.
Anything to add? Okay.
No.
Zach from Texas is asking, there's a store, I guess it must be multiple stores, Chimera's Comics, out just south of Chicago. Is giving...
How is it spelled?
Chimera.
I always call that a...
Chimera? Okay.
I could be wrong, though. I think I'm probably wrong.
They are giving away a comic book store. Basically, the guy has two stores, and he's also an attorney, and he just can't keep up with both of them, and he wants to scale back and just have one. But the act of selling a store is a big pain in the butt. So what he has chosen to do is to give it away. He is taking 2,000 submissions, and basically, and it said some entry fee that I didn't look at that. I wonder if the 2,000 times the entry fee would be the value of the store. But basically, you'd need to submit a proposal of what you would do with the store, how you would run the store. It's not a raffle. It's whoever has the best plan for a comic book store can get a free store outside of Chicago. It's Chimera's Comics or Chimera's Comics. A bad choice for a name if you don't know how to say it. I'm just saying. I think it's Lansing, Illinois. So if you're interested, there's something for you. Great, Tim's moving to Chicago now. So that's all I got as far as questions.
Tim would do a good job owning a comic shop.
I think so, too. Yeah. You know everything I always tell the guys, when the not fun part? Cutting the checks. That's when it's not fun. So, anybody else have any news or anything? Spencer?
No, I don't think. No news, okay. I think.
I don't think so. I was reading an interview with... Matt Reeves about the Batman movie today, where he talked a bit about release dates and targeting, I guess, the 2021 release. But nothing really definitive. Oops. Stop it. Didn't even get it right. I said stop it and it got stopped at.
It'll get there eventually.
eventually figure out what I was saying. But yeah, I didn't see any other news. There was the Umbrella Academy trailer. Did that come out before the last week's podcast?
No, I think it came out after. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was good. I thought that was really good, especially having read that for Book Club.
Yeah.
Didn't sync up completely or anything, but it's interesting going, oh, wait, who's that? Oh, okay, that, and trying to, because, you know, definitely some casting choices that don't match the book, which is fine,
yeah.
But just trying to put everything together.
And I'm curious to see what you're doing with the story, because it doesn't seem like it's following the story of that first trade. So, but yeah, that seems interesting. I finally watched the trailer for The Boys, super weird and super interesting.
Did you ever get around to watching Deadly Class?
I watched the first episode.
Yep, I watched the first
two. Yeah.
I liked it. For the most part, it was very faithful to the first few issues or issue of the book, of the series.
Yeah, it seems pretty good so far.
Yeah, the only parts where I felt it kind of changed a little bit was like the stuff with the homeless guy.
Yeah.
Where just in the book it wasn't quite as obvious or that he was, you know, kind of a bad guy.
Yeah.
And then all the casting seems great, except for the girl that plays Saya, I thought seems a bit young in the show, just because everyone else seems like they're so much older than she is, and she's supposed to be kind of like a more senior student. But the actress herself is great in the part. Just, you know, compared to the other people, she just seems a bit young for what her, like, you know, role is. But I didn't realize it's the same actress that played Jubilee in...
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I didn't either. I just know that Wong's in it.
Mm-hmm. Wong is in it. I like him better than his counterpart in the book.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing. No, yo, I haven't read the whole book. I only ever read the first issue.
So. Did you say no, yo? Did you just say no, yo? I only read...
Wasn't intentional. Fro-yo, but not no, fro-yo.
I finally watched the first two seasons of The Good Place.
Oh.
I keep on hearing it. It's good.
What a show.
My wife is a huge fan of The Good Place, and she like keeps current on it. Like, she watches the episodes come out, and finally I saw it on Netflix. Like, these seem like short episodes.
They are. 22 minutes, yeah.
I'll start watching it, and I plowed through two seasons in a few days.
That's a good show.
It's a really excellent show.
It is. It really is. Especially if you're looking at the names of the restaurants and things like that, are hilarious.
What stopped me from getting into it is that I knew about the twist. So I was like, what's the point of watching it now? I know what the twist
no,
is.
No, watch
but
it.
But even though I knew what the twist was, there were still like other things that I wasn't quite expecting. And then the second season just really, you know. Yeah.
But not knowing the twist,
yeah.
When it got to that, it was like, why? It was just, you didn't see that coming. Yeah. Nobody saw that coming. That was so good. Oh. Just thinking about the lady that's outside. It's in the medium place or whatever.
Oh yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Oh, she comes back again.
Her and Derek.
In this season. Yeah, her and Derek both show up this season. Yeah. Oh, what a show. What a delight. It really is. That's a good show.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We should do a Good Place podcast.
A Good Place. There is a Good Place podcast. And it's hosted by the one demon guy, the head demon guy.
Oh, okay.
Who also plays Sean, but who also plays Captain Holt's husband on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mm. So it's just funny seeing him in different roles. Hmm. I think I listened to one of them. It was when they were introducing the Australian actress that was Chidi's girlfriend.
Oh,
and they were talking to her and stuff. So, that's a good show. Talk about The Good Place. What'd you read, Josh?
Oh, I was pulling a list.
Oh, your phone cooperating?
It will be once I get to the list.
That's why I write down my big list. Fill up a whole page with all the books I read.
If you write them big enough that you can actually read
That's right. That's
You've
right.
got time for that. So the first one I mentioned, because it's on the top of my head, is Justice League.
Yeah.
The Children of Mars.
I started reading it.
So this is still on Thanagar.
Yes.
And I like this one better than the previous issue where they were, you know, on Thanagar trying to find, like, this, you know, Martian who is held captive. But essentially we find out that John Jones is playing a much larger part in everything that's going on right now in the universe with the, you know, totality and the source wall. And has an interesting showdown between, like, John Stewart and the rest of the Green Lantern Corps, which I didn't like in the previous issue, because everything else has been showing him still, like, kind of like the leader of the, you know, the Corps. But this issue made a pretty good point. Like, they have jurisdiction over all these things.
Yeah.
The heroes from Earth are kind of, you know, just going rogue and off doing their own thing instead of going through, like, the proper, you know,
and they do channels. Normally, like, if there's a problem in the universe, it's normally from them.
Yeah. And then also elevating, like, the role that Kendra is playing, showing that she has, you know, a much bigger part in all this as well. But it was good. I like this issue. But the art in this issue was pretty good.
Yeah.
The only thing that still was throwing me off a little bit is the stuff with Carter.
Well, that was wasn't real, though.
It wasn't real, but it seemed like for a little bit they thought it might be real, but then we also see it, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
We also had him like doing his own stuff in his book as well, and then I'm wondering if like is that the same incarnation of him. I guess it's not, because they were talking about that version, like, was
all
dead.
Yeah, because I thought like all those, like, everything on that planet was basically just for show. Like, they used the Martian to...
Not everything.
Well,
so the planet was pretty much decimated, but there's still thousands of them alive.
Because at first, I thought the Green Lanterns were made up at first. Like, when they first showed up, I thought maybe they were just, you know...
No, she was just using the Martian and that helmet thing, the Absorbs-a-Coms, whatever it is, to kind of, like... bring Thanagar and its people back, and I guess with enough power she could actually like bring them all back for real. But it was interesting. Exo Manowar, am I the only one that's reading that?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
I read it in trades, but
so I have an issue with this not the book, but with this property right now, in that I don't think it's even been in the previous catalog yet, the final issue, or maybe this previous catalog has this list for the final issue, and Valiant already announced
the
next series that's starting in the fall.
Yeah,
and they did this before, also, where like as soon as the book ended, they relaunched.
Yeah, Marvel did that where Death of Daredevil hadn't even finished, and they already announced that Chip Zdarsky was going to be doing the new one. It's like, well, I guess he's not dying then. Yeah,
it's just like. I get this is a big book.
It's probably just the cycle, the way the cycle goes too.
But it's just funny. Like every other property they have, well, most of the properties they have,
they will
give it a little break, time to breathe, and then you know bring it back. Exo Manowar has been like boom, boom, boom. You know, three series right in a row with these creative team changes. The only other one that's been doing that lately is Bloodshot, because you know Jeff Lemire raised the profile of that book so much that then they immediately launched into another Bloodshot book. But yeah,
we figure with the movie too.
I guess that makes sense with the movie. But
who's the? I just saw that there was a new Exo book. Who's the?
They didn't announce a creative team.
Oh, they didn't announce.
They just said there's a new Exo Manowar book coming out in the fall. And at that point, I didn't realize the current one was ending.
Yeah, because I figured I would have heard something from you talking about it. I was kind of surprised when I saw that, too.
Yeah, so that part annoyed me. But this issue I actually liked quite a bit. So Eric is kind of – he's holed up in Italy. Looks like somewhere around Rome, which is kind of funny given his history with Rome and Romans. But he is doing small favors for them to, you know, get refuge there just to kind of, like, keep it a low profile. So, like, he was bringing up an ancient, you know, Roman vessel from the bottom of the sea for them as kind of, like, just his way of helping out. And we also see some of the bounty hunter dudes that were hired to assassinate him whenever he... Or, I guess, assassins, not bounty hunters. They were hired to assassinate him whenever he was emperor of that planet Goron. And they are taking down some of the, like... They were going up against the same species as Ginger, like the giant robot.
Yeah.
And looks like they're trying to take one down so that they can use its body as a ship that docks, like, with their ship. And we found out they're coming to Earth. But before they get there, we have, like... almost like the soul-searching that Eric's doing, but he's having these weird conversations with the armor itself. But it was really fun. Like, he's talking to the armor and having these realizations, and then makes a comment that when he's wearing the armor, he never has to take, he never has to urinate at all. And the armor's like, no, you urinate. And he's like, but how? What happens to it? And the armor's like, well, do you really want to know? And then, you know, he gets distracted by
something. Lovingly collected.
He gets distracted by something, and then later on, he's laying there in bed, awake, and he's like,
yeah,
I drink it, don't I? That's what I drink when I'm in the armor. And the armor just says, like, I'm designed to operate as efficiently as possible, and defecation is kind of a waste. And then asking questions of the armor, like, you know, about, can it take different forms? The armor says that its form is based off of what it thinks is the most ideal form based on armor types from all these different civilizations. Yeah. And then shows different other options it could take for its armor. But it was very, very neat. And then it ends suddenly with the those assassins showing up on Earth and attacking him while he's asleep, and really, you know, catching him off guard and doing some damage to him. But it was a good, fun issue of the book. Shazam number 2.
All right,
into it.
You read that?
Yep.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I've been liking this book.
I know they would make kind of a big stink that there was an artist change on it already, but I think the guy
did. Had Santa on the cover of the last week of the end of January. It's like...
Yeah, which was kind of... It was a nice cover, but it was just kind of odd.
Yeah, it won't matter in the future, but yeah.
Yeah. But so it looks like they may have found... Billy Batson's father may have found Billy.
Yeah.
And so his foster parents are dealing with that. But at the same time, Billy and his foster siblings have discovered these other, you know, worlds or realms. And they went to this, like, you know, amusement park kind of world, this fun world. But
yeah, Funland or Funland. Something like that.
Yeah. But yeah, it seems like not everything is quite as it seems. Seems there, but this has been good. I've liked this this book so far. Two issues in, even with the artist change, I think the art was still great in it. Batman,
read that.
Yep.
What did you think of Batman?
I didn't like it.
I didn't like it either.
It was weird.
I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
Interesting idea, but that's three issues that don't make any sense. And I get it's always something's happening to him. Okay, but the issues themselves don't make any sense. Now we're going to have two issues that are going into a different crossover. And then we're going to come back to three more issues of this. So we're not going to get back to a normal story until sometime in April. I think you're just losing a lot of momentum that you had.
I get he has a 100-issue story to tell. But I feel like he's starting to ask a lot of his readers. Because it's been too... Like we talked about... Last week, the week before, it's been too, like, inconsistent up and down. But yeah, this issue, I like the art. I like the Michael Janin art a lot.
I think he's trying to, because before we've always praised him on, like, his,
What?
I was listening to the, Word Balloon podcast last night with Tom King. It's Mikkel Janin.
Really?
Yes. That's how Tom King pronounced it.
Janin. I never would have guessed.
I know. I guess he's Jewish, but yes, Janin. I think he said. So sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. But yeah, when you said that, I'm like,
it's another dust in the wind incident.
Yeah, Janin.
Well, no, I was just saying that we've, you know, have gave Tom Quinn a lot of credit for, like, his characterizations, and now I think it just seems like he's trying to go really overboard with that kind of, like, just these weird one-off. It tells, like, and things like that, other than trying to be more focused on telling a story, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the last one that I will mention is Aquaman 44.
I read that as well.
I like this.
I like that a lot.
I like this a lot, yeah.
The first one was a little, okay, where's this going?
I liked it, but the first one was just setting things up. But no, I think this is really cool.
No, I thought it was very
good. Art was fantastic. The first two pages with Mara, oh my God, it would look good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Robson Rocha.
Yeah.
Because I looked, because I'm like, Who the heck was
like,
that?
Because, what a way to open that book. You open that cover, and that first page is just incredible.
Yep, that was really good.
But no, yeah, this is just really cool. You're finally this greater mystery that's going on wherever he is at.
Right.
Back in Atlantis, they're trying to find a suitor for Mare, and she doesn't seem very into that at all.
Right.
Because she still wants to know what happened to Arthur. But yeah, it's really cool. It looks like at the very end, he suddenly is getting some sort of powers from this ritual that went on with the sea, wherever he's at, and these people that all seem like they're different types of sea gods.
Yes.
That have been there for thousands of years.
And they were like opening his eyes at the end. Yeah. It was
really cool. It was really, really, really interesting take. No, nothing against Kelly Sue DeConnick. I like Kelly Sue DeConnick, but I really liked the previous Aquaman run. So I was not thrilled to see a creative team change, even though the creative team was on the book for a while. But no, this has been a great start to a new creative team. And that is it for me.
All right. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I think it's issue 90. So we're getting ever closer to issue 100. But this issue deals with a lot. Two issues ago, Slash, who is like a bigger, like kind of like snapping turtle version of the Ninja Turtles. He died in a previous issue. He sacrificed himself to save everybody else. So a lot of this issue was them. They had like a wake for him, and Michelangelo was pretty close to him. So he gave this like pretty heartfelt speech about how good he was and stuff like that. And a new character. Well, not a new character in this series. He's been from the beginning, but a new character that started whenever this series started years ago. Old Herb, who was like his teammate, was more upset, and because now there's like this unsteady alliance between like all the different mutants and the government and the ninjas and like the Foot Clan and everything like that. So it's kind of eking ever closer to like a big war. Like actually in the new preview guide, I saw that they gonna start a new story arc, the City at War, which in the original Ninja Turtle run was like that was the end of the Eastman and Lair run before they started having like other people take over the book. So I hope that doesn't mean that this book is gonna be ending after that story arc, because it's been a really good incarnation of the team. But just a good you get a good feel for all the characters and how like this death affected them and just where they're at mentally and things like that. And then Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, the second issue. So in the last issue, after Peter was trying to help one of his neighbors, she drops off these two orange kids who I assume are alien. So to try to find her, he has to have somebody to watch these kids, so he calls in the Human Torch to babysit them for him.
And when who you call in to babysit, sure.
He calls the most irresponsible
person you know. Yeah.
When he calls them to, Tim McMurphy, he's like, please be discreet when you come over. And so he comes flying over in flame form up to his window and comes in through, into his room through the window. And he's like, I thought I said you would be discreet. Like, he's like, having the Human Torch fly into your bedroom window. He's like, how am I going to answer those questions? So, after he, they pick up on this joke because, earlier in the issue, he's like, he's like, I'm Spider-Man, he's like, I'm a superhero, I'll help, I find your mom or whoever the lady is, that was watching him. And they're like, oh, we don't know we never heard of you before. So whenever the Human Torch come over, he's like, hey, this is Johnny, he's my friend, he'll watch you. He's like, they don't really know much about him. They're like, oh, he's the Human Torch, we love the Human Torch. But so, after that, Spider-Man swings off. He finds the person who knocked him out previously in the issue, in last issue. And after he, you know, he shoots the web in his face, he's trying to get him to talk, and the guy keeps on pulling at him. He's like, hey, if you keep on doing that, you're going to end up ripping off your... And he pulls off, like, the his face with a fake skin, and he's like, he's another kind of, like, orange big guy, so it seems like he's probably from the same place where these kids are from. So he's, like, able to... They tussle, and then he leaves, but he's able to find him because... last issue, the family that he saved from going off the bridge, it turns out the wife of that family is a new New York detective. So she shows up at the crime scene and she's like, you know, being friendly with him and stuff because, you know, he saved her family. So he's like, oh, well, if you know who you're feeling, you know, gratitude. He's like, can you run this plate for me? Because he was able to pull the bumper off of the car that had the license plate before they drove off. So that's how he found out where their base was. And as he's getting ready to storm the gates, the old lady neighbor shows up, and it turns out that she herself is some kind of like superhero. I forget her name, but. But another good issue. I've been enjoying the first two issues of this new Spider-Man series. And then the last book I'll talk about is the Uncanny X-Men Annual. I really like this issue. It shows how and when Cyclops came back from the dead. It turns out that they did a fake flashback story to whenever, you know, in the beginning of the X-Men, and Cyclops is, like, at this college, and this mad professor with this robot is, like, you know, wreaking havoc, and Scott, you know, saves this guy, and he's like, oh, you know, if there's ever anything I can do, let me know. And so the young Cable finds that guy in the present and tells him that he needs to make it's like this Phoenix catcher thing. I guess they've had it in previous like X-Men stories, but it's almost kind of like a Phoenix pacemaker, because they inserted it into his chest after the whole Death of X storyline. And then I guess in the resurrection of the Phoenix, I guess at some point when Jean had the Phoenix, she brought Scott back to life and then let him die again. But whenever he had the Phoenix, nice. It caught enough of the energy that it was able to bring him back to life.
It's very complicated.
So, like, I don't know if they took that out, if he would die again. You know what I mean? Or if that was just enough to just bring him back and he's good now. No.
I think so.
No, this makes perfect sense for an X-Men book. But then, so later on in the issue, that guy is getting attacked again by the same professor who is wreaking havoc at the college. Back when they were younger, and so Scott has to decide, does he go and save this guy who brought him back to life, or does he go and help the X-Men fight Nate Gray, who's took over Legion's body, because both of those things like happen at the same time. And then it turns out he ends up saving the guy, so that's why he wasn't there when all the other X-Men vanished. So which I imagine is going to be those new, like, Age of X books, so...
Yeah.
If the rest of the series afterward, when it comes back, is good as this issue, I'll be happy. It's definitely a lot better than most of those first, like, ten issues they were doing weekly there, so... But that's it.
Okay. So I was hoping Dave would be here to talk about this one, but I will take on an Archie book. Blossom 666. Pretty standard Archie book. It's got, like, Reggie being a jerk to Dilton. and Jughead's his laptop crashed, and he couldn't turn in his paper, and he was getting in trouble with the teacher, and the Blossom Twins are having a party and telling people to come on by, and I forget his name, but the boy Blossom tells the teacher that he saw Jughead's paper. And so the teacher gave Jughead the weekend to finish it, and she went up to, Cheryl went up to, oh, Jason, that's his name. Cheryl went up and was telling Dilton, you know, if you need to show some backbone, and that's what girls like and stuff. So just lots of stuff like that, and they recruit, everybody comes. Sadly, Jughead does not come because he's actually home working on his... paper, so Jason was upset about that. But so they're having all these people over for this pool party and stuff, and the parents are downstairs doing some sort of, you know, satanic ritual, and but basically they've lured everybody there to take them and do something, and it ends with Cheryl has Reggie tied to a tree and gives Dalton a dagger, and basically saying, you know, you want to do it, come on, show me, go ahead and kill him. So it was a little dark, but yeah, so yeah, something's
going
on.
Are you laughing? It's death. That's what death.
Okay, Josh. Guardians of the Galaxy, the new one, Donny Cates, basically starts off, it's Thanos's funeral. Star Fox, otherwise known as Eros, who's his brother, is talking about them. And you're talking about, you know, he is dead. It's, you know, his decapitated body. He's checked, and he is dead. He's checked it many times. And talking about it, like, but of course he's not really dead because we can't get rid of him that easily. And I've gathered you all here. And it's Beta Ray Bill. It's just all every character you can think of, but no Avengers. And he says, because they won't do what we need to do. You know, what needs to be happened, they'll stay. And it turns, so he plays this little video, clicks something on him, and it plays this little video. And, you know, oh, if you're seeing this, I must be dead. But you know what? That couldn't be it. I have, you know, transferred my consciousness to someone else. And so now they have to go try to find out who it is. Then the Black Order shows up, riding nowhere. That's their transportation, is nowhere, which is the celestial head. And the Guardians were going to nowhere, and they get there, and nobody's there. And they're like, what the heck?
Nobody's nowhere?
No, it's just an empty spot where nowhere should be. The Nova Corps, somebody from the Nova Corps shows up and goes, don't worry, we have this. You know, very Dudley Do-Right-ish. And so then the Black Order shows up, and they're trying to steal Thanos' body. Big fight ensues, and eventually... Beta Ray Bill throws his hammer... And then Cosmic Ghost Rider attaches his chain to it, and they all kind of get pulled through this wormhole or something. And so then they all show up with the Guardians, and the Guardians protect them, saying, you know, no, this is my crew, you have to leave them alone. And it's Phi Lavelle, which is the female Captain Marvel, Moondragon, Groot is with Star-Lord, that's the last of the Guardians of the Galaxy. They're not talking about what happened to Rocket. Gamora turned evil, Drax died,
And Groot can talk now.
Right? And Groot can talk normally. And it's interesting because he's sharpening his, like, his shoulders and stuff, so he's getting real punk.
And didn't he have, like, a mohawk? Because I flipped through, he has, like, a wooden mohawk thing, right? Yeah.
So you have Phi Lavelle, Moondragon, Cosmic Ghost Rider, Beta Ray Bill, and then Star-Lord and Groot. And I think that's the Guardians. I might be missing somebody, but... And so now it's leading into they're going to go.
Tim said he really liked it.
I thought it was very, very good. Yeah, I really did enjoy that.
How did though? Because I haven't read any like the Cosmic Ghost Rider and the Thanos and stuff. But I thought that was all like set in the future. Like I thought Cosmic Ghost Rider was like an old like Thanos story. Like you know.
Yeah, that's that's from the Thanos run. Yeah, Cosmic Ghost Rider, who's actually Frank Castle. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so no, that was really good. And then the last one I read was Oliver. This is from, I guess, Image. I think it's Image. It's at first I thought it was going to be Oliver Twist, and it might be, but it, in a really loose way. It's drawn by Derek Robertson. That was the main reason I wanted to read it. And I heard good things about it. But it's basically in a post-apocalyptic England is where it's set. A lady is walking through in this, like, chemical radiation suit and then kind of collapses. And it turns out she's pregnant. These men help her have the baby. And, like, the one then picks it up and has this, shocked look on his face. Like, oh, this is a natural birth. We haven't seen one of these in ages. And stuff, and then looks at it, and it's like, okay, well, not quite human, I guess. But you don't know why. And then it turns out, just as this goes on, like appears to be like a bit of a troublemaker, and this mm-hmm. one guy's chasing him, but all the guys look pretty much the same. And the reason for that is they were all created to fight this war where they could use chemicals and, radiation and stuff, and these people would be able to withstand that. And so they were all manufactured people. That's why a born child was such a big deal. But everyone else is gone. They didn't survive the war, just these soldiers did. But now that the war's over, mostly because nobody won, nobody cared anymore, everything was destroyed, they're just still going on. But so that's why he's such a unique thing. So, and that leads into, some people feel that he, shouldn't have lived. And so there's factions starting. But it was very interesting. So that's what I read. Had a big stack. That's all I made it through. I apologize. So, Colin, what's coming out next week? Well, next week...
This is a good pad.
That's pad. Why? I didn't want to do a voice. Yeah. We have the first of the X-Men books Spencer was talking about. Age of X-Men, Marvelous X-Men, number one, is next week. Avengers 14, we're getting close to where it's going to do that mini, that weekly 12-issue, 10-issue series. Batman 64 is The Price. This is the start of the Batman Flash crossover by Josh Williamson. Battlestar Galactica Twilight Command, a new series. Conan the Barbarian 3 and Second Prince of 1 and 2. I really enjoyed it. I read a little bit of Conan back in the day, but this has been very enjoyable. I really enjoyed the first two issues.
I always wanted to check out I know Brian Wood did a run on Conan a little while ago. I always wanted to check that out because I figured he could do a good Conan. Yeah. Wood.
Daredevil number one. This is the Chip Zdarsky run. I think it's Marco Cicchetto is doing the art, or at least the covers. But so that looks good. Female Furies, which is... from DC, The New Gods. A new G.I. Joe series, Sierra Muerte.
I think it's the Female Furies from the same writer as Shade, the Changing...
Oh, was it? Was that Teeny Howard? Or...
No, Cecil...
Castellucci. Yeah. Okay. Girl in the Bay, which is a new Berger book from Dark Horse. Green Lantern number 4 with Grant Morrison. Gunhawks is another one of the Marvel little one-shots they're doing. Justice League 17, so it's kind of been Justice League annual Justice League. Yeah. So
I saw Snyder post a thing on Instagram. Like apparently after these three issues, that kind of ends the first arc of his story or something like that.
It's a big arc,
right?
Man and Superman 100-page super special, another DC 100-pager. Oberon number one. This is from Aftershock. Old Man Quill number one. From Marvel, Old Man Star-Lord. Red Sonja number one. This is
the Mark Russell one.
Another Star Wars Age of Republic Anakin Skywalker. Uncanny X-Men 11, which on the cover is Wolverine and Cyclops.
Yeah.
Vindication number one. This is a political one from Image. Wrong Earth number 6. Sorry, Dave, you're not here, but Wrong Earth number 6. And Young Justice number 2. Continuing the Bendis... book.
It didn't seem like it's been that long since the first one.
No, maybe 3 weeks, because I know I've gotten a reorder in, and normally that's 2 weeks, or maybe I haven't. Huh. I don't remember, but yeah, maybe it's been two or three weeks since that came out. So a decent week of books. We're getting back in February, back into another 4 week month, so things will settle down a little bit.
No, is that gonna be the month that has three issues of things coming?
No, that was January. Okay. Yeah, January, because what happened is DC shifted the last week of December to the first week of January, since there were five Wednesdays. Oh. So that's why January was a little heavy, especially in DC, just because they moved a week of books. So, but that's what we got coming up next week. Book club, we're doing Deadly Class with the, because of the new TV show. I do have them in stock.
No, you don't.
I'm out?
Yeah, I bought the last one.
Okay. Yep. Well, I had them in stock. I'll get more. It's nice because it's only a $9.99 first volume, so it's 25% off for book club, so $7.50. That's going to be, it's a little bit earlier only because it's February 22nd, because that's when the last Friday fell. But obviously there's not a February 29th, so. So that's when that is. I don't know what I'm doing yet for February. I'll think about that tomorrow during the cold freeze when I'm here this in the morning. We'll come up with that. I think that's all we got going on at the store right now. Yeah, January's going to be wrapping up. Give you a heads up. Pay attention to the temperature. Okay. A clue, because I think Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are supposed to all be in the 50s. After right now, it's like negative. So that's going on. As always, you can find me. It's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook, Pittsburgh Comics, at PGH Comics for both Twitter and Instagram. I think that's all we got, just kind of wrapping up January. New previews came out today. If you want them, come get them when I got them, while I have them.
Great cover on them.
Yes, Star Trek Year 5, yes. So, Josh!
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.